Yes, we hope you enjoy the show, considering the fact that Phil's,
Phil is back for the first time since, my God, Phil, how long's it been?
Well, I mean, it's been off and on a few days, but...
Back to the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
And now it's time... Well, everybody's talking.
Go ahead, bud. It doesn't matter.
Now it's time for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on a Phil Hendry Show.
Phil on Phil Hendry Show, man.
Phil Hendry on the Phil Hendry Show. That's good. Anyway, bud, thank you very much, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are trying a different camera angle here on Phil TV in HD.
Well, yes, I noticed this, and I'm not entirely against this, because I think what it shows, those of you that are watching Phil TV in HD, by the way, I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret, good evening, or good morning.
Well, good morning.
Well, you know, you don't know what people are going to be, you know, loading it, because it could be morning. It's wherever it's, what is it here, man?
What is it here? This is evening time, is what it is here.
So wherever you are, good morning. How about that?
Phil.
No, good morning. We'll just leave it at that.
All right, well, what I'm saying, is, and by the way, Bud Dickman is here.
Yeah, this is Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard, too.
Yes, I'm General Galen Shaw, and it's your move. And now go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, I'm glad you got your little tagline is that I'm Margaret Gray. Mine comes with applause.
Well, isn't that yours comes with applause? You know, you ought to smile when you say that yours comes with a... How about that, Phil? Almost like...
All right, fine.
Oh, you know something, General. You are...
Fine. What were you going to say?
The camera angle that people are going to be seeing here on the program today is slightly different. You'll see if you're looking at Phil TV at HD. This is decidedly behind the scenes, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a camera... This is our camera one, and we're using this as our primary camera because, just want to.
Yeah, Mr. Stanley, you're saying you don't like people looking at you.
Well, you know, first of all, can I just say something here? I think it is a better choice because, let me say this.
Don't you let Mr. Henry say it. You're always dominating everything. All I've been here about is you.
Do you want to die where you sit?
Wait.
Does he want to die where he...
Wait a second. Margaret, let her finish what she's saying. She brought the point up.
Yeah, be like that, that.
Oh, boy, you know something, Bud. You know what you would look? You would look good wearing one of those little frilly bonnets that they put those babies in the 19th century when they photographed them after they were dead.
Jesus H. Christ.
That's right. I'm talking about Wisconsin Death Trip.
All right, now hold on.
I'm telling you, Phil.
God, she wants to see me like a little cooked up baby.
I didn't say cooked up, you freak.
Wait. Wisconsin Death Trip? That's that book that has pictures of dead babies. And they've got bonnets on and everything.
Yeah, I've seen that, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know something? I wasn't referring specifically to that because I don't think Bud would be that good looking.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to have Wisconsin Death Trip or anything else informing the first few minutes of this here show, if you don't mind. Now, what was your point?
About what?
About the camera.
Oh, yes.
Well, then we got some of the mail.
Yes, we got some mail, and not that we got a lot of mail. I think it would be better just to see the back of your head as opposed to looking at you while you're performing the program, because it is jarring. Phil?
Yeah, I'm saying it is very jarring.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought that it was something that people would want to see. And by the way, I think this camera angle is cutting off part of what people can see, you know?
No, let's just listen to what people are saying here, you know?
Yes, Phil, we did get some mail from people. It is graphically jarring when they see you and you're doing this show. I can't even describe it, ladies and gentlemen, but let me just consider yourself... I would say that Phil is very talented, but consider yourself lucky that you haven't seen him.
Yeah, it's very... it's unsettling.
Yeah, right there. That's the word right there. That's the one I was looking for. That's the one that's escaped me. Unsettling or...
Disturbing.
Yeah, right. That's right there. That's a good word. Right. I was looking for that. Yeah, right there. Hey, right there. I was looking for that. Disturbing, unsettling, disgusting. You didn't come up with disgusting, did you?
I'm unsettling. Just trying to help.
Phil, we're only trying to help.
All right, well, fine. So that's why we're doing this camera from behind my head, so people don't have to look at... See...
Phil, slow down.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you went so people don't have to look at the...
I know what I did. So people don't have to look at me being disturbing. Anyway, welcome, folks, to the show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are indeed back on the air here after a couple of days off.
Well, more than a couple.
All right, more than a couple of days off. I got a cold. Excuse me for breathing. Excuse me for existing. Excuse me for getting sick, like 99.999% of the rest of the human race.
All right, Phil, don't start feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes, Phil, we're just pointing out certain things that you owe your audience.
I know I owe my audience. I owe my audience a show. But I can't help getting sick.
Yeah, what about flu shot stuff?
Hey, that's the thing we're all wondering about. You were the big proponent of the flu shot,
Now all of a sudden you're backing off of that. You're backpedaling. You're sort of walking backwards as the thing comes, as the thing of your lack of credulity.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that Phil's horse dung...
Forget it. Yeah. So it's not horse dung, General. If I read where the flu shot was in effect... And the flu shot has been effective. I didn't get the flu. I got a cold. Big difference.
Well, what's the difference if you're not in the air?
The big difference is the flu used to knock me out for 2-3 weeks, man. I used to lose my voice for a month. As a matter of fact, if you listen, as I said to some of our BSPs during the past weekend show, I said, look, go into our archives and listen to the archive shows and listen to my voice through much of the winter months of those years. Man, I had a laryngitis thing that was going on.
All right. Well, the point is that, you were knocked out because of this. You're gonna need more than a flu shot.
I know what I did wrong, and I said it during the pre-show. We were spending a lot of time in San Francisco. Not only were I was working, but we were, burning the candle at both ends a little bit. We're going out to dinner, having a good time. Boom, ba-boom, bing, ba-bing. We split. We left about 6:30 on Sunday night, drove all the way home. Got home at midnight, then stayed up for a few more hours. On Monday, I was a complete wreck. I was destroyed. And it took till about Wednesday to get my act together. But we're on the air that week. Then I got sick on Thursday. And then the next week, which was last week, was a complete and utter disaster. So I don't know what to tell you, but we're doing the very best we can. However, we're going to make up the lack and the want and the...
Well, this is just the grave disappointment,
Well, I don't know how disappointed people are that,
That what?
Well, that you're not on the air. I mean, I would be disappointed, but there may be some people who out there think that you not being on the air is a break.
Yeah, son, I'm good. Don't even know that.
Well, isn't that just wonderful for them? I guess they're going to have to find some other way to get through life because I'm back.
All right, Jesus, don't make it sound like a threat, all right?
It is a threat, if you don't like me being on the air. So,
Phil, you just went...
Here, you want that? What is this? Piece of paper to blow your nose with?
Get out of here with it.
All right.
So, anywho, we're glad to be back, and... That's the name of that game, man. Now, this coming month of February, we do have a very, very special, very, very special promotion. We're going to be talking to her very shortly here, Bobby Dooley, right?
Oh, is this the date with All For God's Sake?
Yeah, this is what it is.
Yeah, a date with Bobby Dooley. You can win a phone date with Bobby Dooley.
And it says here she'll talk you off.
Come on.
Oh, my God, she'll talk you off. This is a new low for the Phil Henry Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Give me that, will you?
No. This is a new low. She'll talk you off. So, in other words, Phil Henry is pimping and proffering and selling on the dirt roads of America Bobby Dooley's butt.
Well, you're the one that said you sold your ass out there when Pluto wasn't a planet.
That was a very shocking and very troubling and traumatizing...
Traumatizing
event.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, Pluto not being a planet. All right, folks.
Yes, it was. Look at, ladies and gentlemen, you didn't see Phil and you really think it doesn't smell. I bet you think in the morning that when you let one go...
All right, Margaret, thank you. We've got your opinion on all matters this morning, and we will now move on.
Fine.
All right. Let's go out to traffic. First of all, we do have, as I mentioned, a very special announcement concerning this month's Valentine's Day promotion. And that is that I am spending $5,000 on a new bracelet for my girl. I mean,
Oh, my God.
We have Bobby Dooley who will be at your disposal. You can win a date. All right, here is Bob Bakey on the traffic. Bob?
All right, so I go to Friday night, Sam. It's Saturday, Friday night with a little man, Hagetcha, and a D hand pass around, and we've got a short list, so I hope that we can help you out with that one. Hey, everybody, I'm driving to the downtown today. You're going to find out in Flound Town, and there's a round down, a little round band down there. Little John, go to grab that train. There's Robin Hood, and of course, Little John is out there. It's this little thing. If you're going to see it on the upside and downside, you're going to see the top of that mountain. He's left hand and down through there. Let's take out the Sky Boy.
All right, thanks a lot, Bob. I found one. There's a little man in the morning. Any mummy out there, got a little bit of mummy, I want to get in the car and kick his ass. I'm getting a baby.
Famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. I wish it wasn't so, but it is.
All right.
Hey. Time flies. I guess that's why I'm bugging. Just yesterday I was rapping with
now it's time. Let's go on to Harvey Wyman, and Harvey has today's news break.
Thank you very much, General Shots, Harvey Wireman, and this is the Harvey Wireman News Break. And while Mr. Henry and his compatriots were having themselves a jolly time talking about the berries, and let me tell you what's going on, my fine feathered friends. I'm Harvey Wireman, and this news break is about the Iowa caucus. As Cruz tops Trump, while Clinton and Sanders are in a virtual tie. That's right, from Des Moines, Senator Ted Cruz scored a hard-fought upset win over businessman Donald Trump.
That's Ted Cruz, not Cruz, all right?
Yes, we've already talked to you about this, Harvey.
What is the guy's name?
Guy's name is Ted Cruz, man, not Cruz.
All right, take it easy. Over Donald Trump in the
Iowa.
Iowa, yeah, you got it. That's it. Thank you, Phil. In the Iowa Republican
caucuses.
What?
Caucuses.
What are you talking about?
He's talking about the caucuses, the Iowa Republican caucuses.
Oh, yeah. That was on Monday.
Will you come on Monday night?
All right, my friend. Look, I've got glasses that are about 6 months old.
Oh, you know something, Harvey? That is getting old.
Well, you know what? You talk to David G. Hall about it, my friends.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's right. I got the power with me. Anyway, on Monday... Monday night. Monday night. While former secretee... of Study Hillary Clinton.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Secretary of State, that's it. And Senator Bernie Sanders were locked in a virtual tee on the Democratic. So there you have it. Ted Cruz has won the Iowa caucus, and it's going to be very interesting here on out. This is Harvey Wireman reporting from San Marino, California, for today's Harvey Wireman News Break.
Thank you very much, Harvey. Comments?
About what?
About the anything on Garvey's...
On Garvey?
On... Okay, forget it.
Ted Cruz, let me tell you something. I know we're going to be talking to some of these Trump fans here in the program today, but I believe that with Ted Cruz...
Yeah, goddammit, Ted Cruz.
I think this probably has put a real rocket in that guy Trump's shorts. Now, let me tell you something. Without betraying who I'm in favor of, I think this put the fear of the JC...
Well, yes, I know where you're going with that, General. I think that Donald Trump probably... This was a wake-up call for Donald Trump. A wake-up call in which I believe the voters of Iwuwu... God damn it, Harvey. Iowa, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, mister, just because you don't know how to say it.
Well, it gets in your head, all right? I think that Ted Trump... Donald Cruz...
Ted Cruz!
Ted Cruz... Put the fear of just as the general said, put the fear of God into Donald Trump tonight. Donald Trump realizes that he is not the end-all be-all. Donald Trump realizes that he isn't all this in a bag of pretzels. Donald Trump realizes that he ain't all that. He thinks he's all this. Well, he isn't any of that. And
what are you talking about?
What both of you guys are saying, if I could just interrupt. This is going to bring Donald Trump back to earth. This is,
Right there, gonna bring him back to Earth and realize he can't beat nobody. No how.
No, not he can't beat nobody.
It's going to prove to him he's gotta work hard.
Yeah, right there, he's gotta work hard. And nothing is promised to no man in this world. Not that Donald Trump doesn't know that. Not that Donald Trump isn't aware of that. Not that he isn't, fully aware of the fact that he's gonna have to go out kick-ass and take names. But the cat knows that there is a a big haul ahead, and he's going to have to, very definitely begin to take this process a little more seriously. Because I think that, I think he's a little bit kind of out of control with some of his language, some of the way that he communicates. He hasn't been specific with a lot of things. He's seemed a little unfocused and sloppy, like he's taking the voters for granted. And I think this is probably going to be good for Ted Cruz because he's going to now say, you know, we got to get serious.
Yeah, he's
going to
get serious about it. But, I mean, that guy's bad.
No, he isn't. Donald Trump is a self-made man.
Oh, man, you are so dumb.
All right, well, we'll find out, okay? Because I don't want to start going into who's voting for who. Oh, what do we got here? Let's go to Ted Bell now. Ted's of Beverly Hills and find out what's up.
A Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. Hey, listen, by the way, speaking of Ted Bell, or excuse me, speaking of Donald Trump, I've got a Trump story to tell of my own as we introduce Chef Carl Cedilia today here on the
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is with us here. So what's the story, Ted?
Well, Chef Cedilia was here. You want to tell the story?
First of all, say welcome to Chef Carl Cedilia.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The Chef Carl Cedilia cooking segment.
This is not all about... this is Chef Carl Cedilia cooking segment, and this is something that I do, even though I've got a million other things I've got to do in the kitchen, to get prepared for the day. Okay, so I was the one that took the phone call. And
Chef Cedilia took the phone call, Phil, and it was from Grantham Elliott, who's the traveling secretary of Donald Trump.
And this guy says, Mr. Trump wanted to make a reservation. I said, well, you're speaking to the executive chef, Carl Cedilia. And he answered some smart-ass way. I said, well, if that's how it's going to be, give the phone over to Todd. He says, Mr. Baldwin, it's football.
I can't understand what you're saying. He said that...
I said, I'd give the phone over to Ted if he was here, but he's not.
I said, Ted Bell wasn't there.
No. I said, what do you want? And he said, do you know who you're speaking to? And I said, so far, I'm talking to a sack of crap. I'm going to do it. I said, it sounds to me like I'm talking to a sack of crap on a cheap phone because I can't understand. And then I heard click. And I said, okay, so the guy's not going to, the guy hung up on me. It was at that point that I thought I was a phony.
Now, wait a minute, this guy's calling from Donald Trump?
Yes, Grantham Elliott. You know the guy, Phil?
No, I don't know the guy. No, I don't know him.
Grantham Elliott is the traveling secretary of Donald Trump.
All right. So then I hear ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. I go over to the payphone.
Wait, where is he calling, man?
He's calling the payphone.
Give me the phone. He was calling in on the payphone because that's generally the back line that I give to VIPs. It's a payphone here next to the can. I'm sorry.
Oh, God, that's very classy.
Well, you know something? Sue me, okay? I don't like giving out my own personal cell phone number. I give them the phone.
All right, so what happened?
So I answer the phone, and I go, Ted to Beverly Hills, and I said something like John phone, Ted to Beverly Hills can phone, and...
No, you didn't.
What?
No, you didn't say that, did you?
Yeah, I did. What do you want me to pretend like that's the real phone? I'm not the maitre d'.
Oh, my God.
Oh, will you grow up, Bill?
You can't do that.
Look, here's what I said. I said, Ted's out here. Now, he said, well, I want to make a reservation for Donald Trump. I said, does he know Ted? He said, I should think he does. And that's when Ted came down the hall, and I said, you want the phone? He asked me who it was. I said, Grantham Elliott. He started going, no, I'm not here. And I said, well, look, we can't give you the...
No, let me have it. I declined to grab the phone from my hand, man. Don't ever do that. You'll pull back two useless bloody stumps. Two useless bloody stumps. Do you have your phone?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you. Now, why don't you get back in the kitchen and make something that...
What's wrong?
Never mind.
Chicken dish.
Well, we don't have time for the chicken dish now, do we?
I'll go get a chicken dish, Phil.
All right, well, we'll do the chicken dish later. What happened?
You want to hear about that?
Give me the phone, please. So, this guy, he says, I want to make a reservation. Is this Ted Bell? I said, yes, it's Ted Bell. I've been hiding out. I didn't really want to talk to you, but there's no sense in having you talk to our chef because, first of all, he doesn't do the reservations here. And secondly, he's so overweight, few people understand what he's saying except for me and a select few people that speak to him who know him. And then I went, ha, 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 like that. And I didn't hear a thing. And I went, ha, 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 and I didn't hear a thing. It was just like this. And I realized, oh, God, we got a problem. So,
All right, so what happened?
I'm telling you what happened.
Well, he's going to tell you.
So I said, what can I do for you, Mr. Elliott? He said, well, Mr. Trump would like to make reservations for your restaurant. And I said, well, that's nice, except
you know, I'm going to really have a hard time with that. And he said, well, why is that? I said, because of the fact that Mr. Trump's comments in the press have been such that I can't do it. You know, it's going to be, I can't do it. I said, I appreciate Mr. Trump and all that he has attempted to do. And I said, and, you know, if he ever wants to stop in for a TED, you know, and then I hear, you know. So I said, that.
Yeah, it's no wonder you heard that.
Oh, give me a break, will you?
All right, so what else?
So I said, I can't make reservations for Mr. Trump because of the way that he talks about Mexicans. I can't have that. I got a lot of Mexicans that work for me. And I said, on top of everything else, you know, who knows? I may be elected president of Mexico someday, right? Ha, ha, ha. And I hear that. And I said,
all right, Ted, thank you for the comedy bit. Really appreciate it.
No, but you don't understand. You don't understand.
Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills, giving us a look at the situation there at the restaurant. We're sorry that we didn't hear from Chef Carl Cedilli and what it was he was going to tell us about chicken and whatever the hell else. But, you know, that's how that goes.
You don't understand.
We'll be back with more from Ted's of Beverly Hills here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show right after these messages. And don't forget, coming up this month, we have... we do have Bobby Dooley on the show today to talk about her Valentine's Day date.
Yes, Bobby Dooley is going to have a phone date with one of you very lucky annual Backstage Pass subscribers. I think the whole thing sounds vile. Oh.
Not vile beyond words. Yeah, well, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, baby. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and normally that means spending an arm and a leg on someone you stopped caring about years ago. Anyway, but here at the world of Phil Hendry, we know that Valentine's Day is really about love, and who do we love, and who do you love? Well, you love you, and we love us, and, you know, like that. So that's why we pulled out all the stops for this Valentine's season, and we use literally every dollar we have left in the coffers to hire Bobby Dooley as our prize for this Valentine's Day promotion. That's right, a date with Bobby Dooley on the phone, Jack. And for the entire month of February, all of our annual Backstage Pass members, new or old, will be entered to win our grand prize, a date with Bobby Dooley. And as well, all our new annual Backstage Pass members will also receive the entire Best of the Radio digital CD collection. That's a $150 value just as a freebie for signing up. Now, Bobby and Steve are currently shopping a TV show. It's a new reality show. What's this thing called?
We've got her on the phone now.
Bobby Dooley joining us from Western Estates. Bobby, what is the name of your show?
Oh, hi, Phil. The show is called... what is it, Steve?
Bobbywood.
Right. Hooray for Bobbywood.
Hooray for Bobbywood. Hooray for Bobbywood.
Yeah, we understand, Steve. Hooray for Bobbywood. And this will be in part and parcel and connected to and a part of the part of, you know...
Yeah,
about the Valentine's Day.
Okay. I don't know whether...
Because what we're hoping to do is to film us on our phone date with one of your listeners. Now, I'm a married woman... I have a husband, so this is not going to get out of hand, or so help me God.
No, somebody's going
to. I don't want to say it, but someone's going to die. So.
There's no need for a threat, okay? No need for that. We don't need to hear those kinds of threats, Ms. Dooley.
General Shaw, I'm a mother.
We know you're a mother, dear. We don't have to be reminded of that. I'm a mother as well.
Well, then why don't you, I was going to say, why don't you sell yourself?
Excuse me, but that's not me.
Oh, I see it. It's me.
Look, none of this is having anything to do with anything untoward other than the fact that it's going to be a Valentine's date, a phone date with Bobby God-ding Dooley. Okay?
God, Mr. Andy.
You really make it sound good, don't you, Phil?
All right, well, like I say... I want this above board. So, folks, make sure that you have an annual Backstage Pass because this is going to be a drawing among all of our annual Backstage Pass members, new or old. We will select five names, I think, for people who have a date with Bobby Dooley on the phone. And, of course, we haven't forgotten about our monthly Backstage Pass members either. During the month of February, all Backstage Pass members, annual or monthly, new or old, will receive a free autographed and kissed digital headshot from Bobby, sprayed with her signature perfume. What is the name of this perfume?
Well, there are two scents that we're working with right now.
Two scents? That's very funny.
Oh, is it now? Fuck it.
What did you just do?
I said 2 cents. Isn't that funny?
Well, she hung the phone up.
Call her back.
That kid, nobody can hang up.
I said nobody could hang up.
Yeah, but Dooley, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. Give me the phone. Bobby, I got to put you back. Don't hang up the phone, okay?
I'm sorry, Phil, but I will not be mocked in that way. When you said 2 cents, there are 2 cents is what I said. One of them is called Arise, She-Wolf, and the other is Moist Desert.
Arise, She-Wolf.
What is it?
Do you want me to say it again?
Yes, I do.
Arise, She-Wolf, and what?
And Moist Desert. And these are, in my opinion, again, the signature Bobby Dooley phrases that I think everyone is going to love.
All right, Bobby, we're looking forward to that. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. And Bobby Dooley will be the prize. One of 5 of you will be receiving a phone date with Bobby Dooley. Bobby, thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And again, for all of your listeners who don't get it, I'm not an animal, and I won't allow...
Yeah. Can't put your paws on my...
All right, thank you very much.
Down, all I want you to do is just drop that ass down. Drop that ass down. I look back at it.
Oh, isn't this nice?
Anyway, welcome back to the program, Phil Henry Show. Mavis Leonard is going to join us. Larry Grover and Bob Green as well. Jeff Dowder. If we have time for all of these guys, and I certainly hope that we do. On the phone with us is Mavis Leonard from Southgate, California, to talk about her support for Donald Trump. We know Mavis, we know what the results are of the... Iowa caucus, and I suppose those were disappointing for you.
Phil, no, I was not disappointed at all in the caucus. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that's fine with me. You know, Donald Trump will rise up. I'm a big Donald Trump fan.
You don't got to be kidding about
that. I try to tell Robert this.
Now, Robert, your aunt is a Donald Trump fan, and traditionally your family's voted Democrat.
Yeah, my family voted Democrat. Not always Democrat. My father voted for Ronald Reagan, you know.
His father, my brother-in-law, voted for Ronald Reagan, which at that time I thought was about as brain dead a thing as you could do. But that was then. This is now. I think Donald Trump, I think that what happened to him in Iowa... You got a lot of people in that state that don't really know how to get out there and do something bold and daring. You know, you got a lot of fighting people there. And all they want to do is go out in the morning, make sure the cow can be milked, a chicken got egg, and like that. And they don't want to stretch it, you know.
Well, you're talking about the very daring candidacy of Donald Trump, and that it does take perhaps a daring voter.
I think it does, yeah. So I think it's going to take a lot of people... getting on board and doing the do and a funky picking too.
All right, Larry Grover is joining us as well from Culver City, California. Larry, you with Conservatives Kern County, you endorsed Donald Trump, didn't you?
I think we endorsed Ted Cruz.
I think you endorsed Ted Cruz. I remember that.
Yeah.
No, I thought you endorsed Donald Trump.
Well, we might have endorsed Donald Trump.
I thought it was Ted Cruz, but it could be Donald Trump.
Which was it?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
No, I think you endorsed Donald Trump.
Donald Trump? Well, either way...
How do you feel about the election?
What's that?
How do you feel about the Iowa caucus?
I think that we got terribly disappointed, and it makes me question whether we've actually got the right candidate. I thought Donald Trump would be on a roll and would go into Iowa... And he would take every Christian soul there out for a spin in the new Donald Trump 2016 Vision of America sports car. And instead, what they decided to do is to say to him, you can take your jalopy down the road. We're climbing into the back of Ted Cruz's banana truck. God damn.
Now see, that to me, that sounds racist.
What's racist about it?
You talk about a man's banana truck.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. In other words, it's not a very sophisticated ride.
All right, well, you are now regretting having endorsed Donald Trump?
I regret endorsing Donald Trump only from the standpoint, as Mavis just said, I don't think people have the guts for Donald Trump. And I can tell you this right now, he better do something in New Hampshire or I'm going to feel very betrayed. Very betrayed indeed.
You don't talk about him betrayed by Donald Trump.
That's right. Donald Trump would... I would feel as if Donald Trump went ahead and took advantage of me.
All right, you know, there's a lot of people that think Donald Trump is full of crap, and there's a lot of people who think that Donald Trump is running some kind of a flim-flam, but I don't think anybody would go so far as to say that Donald Trump forced people to vote for him.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that he got, you know, took me into his confidence, and I feel very foolish about that.
All right, we got another gentleman on the phone here. It's Bob Green from... we have three Donald Trump supporters here. Bob Green, Larry Grover, and Mavis Leonard. Bob is the CEO of Fraser Foods. You heard Larry Grover say, Bob, that he feels a little bit misled. What is your read on this?
Well, Phil, you know, I don't feel misled or anything. I think that what Donald Trump did is he said, here it is. Here's the vision for America. I probably agree more with Ms. Leonard there. Donald Trump said, here is the vision for America, and this is going to be a fast, high-speed rail ride. You may not have your wig left, you may not have your purse left, you may not have much of anything left, but at the end of this ride, you are going to be in the future, and you're going to be in a shimmering, star-studded future with me, Donald Trump. Now, either you've got the guts for that or you don't, and we found out tonight that, as Mavis said, yeah, Iowa don't have the guts for it. Iowa doesn't have the guts.
Well, I don't agree with that. It isn't about guts. I think it's about...
Wait. I'm not finished yet. Yeah, I think it is about guts, and I think it's about grabbing a hold for the ride, because if you aren't on for the ride, well, maybe you should have stayed home with your mama.
Yeah, see, that I think, is what a lot of people think when they maybe don't have the obligations that a guy like I have.
Now, what I wanted to say something, Larry. What obligation do you have?
A guy like I?
What do you mean, a guy like I?
Oh, a guy like me.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. What are they?
I have my mother, and I have me.
And what about your daughters and your ex?
I'm done with my alimony, and I've by mutual agreement, at this time I can't pay any child support, but as soon as I'm on my feet, I will.
Can I ask a question? How many years has it been since you paid child support?
None of your business. So.
All right, well, that tells me all I need to know. You haven't paid child support in years.
I don't think you're a very good representative of a Donald Trump fan because you don't meet your obligations, you know.
I meet my obligations just fine. Right now, I don't have the money. I work at a print shop. Okay?
You know something, Larry? Please don't yell, because all you do is make all of us who support Donald Trump sound like desperate animals.
All right. Well, what I'm hearing here are three very distinct points of view, as I said. We have you, Larry, who believes you've been manipulated. We have you, Mavis, who believes that the people of Iowa do not have the guts. And, Bob, you sort of built on that by saying that this is a high-speed, if you will, sports car trip into the future. Now, you either hang on or you don't.
That's exactly right, Phil. Either hang on for the ride, or if you don't have the guts for it, let's move on to New Hampshire, because I'm sure they will.
All right. Larry and Bob and Mavis, thank you very much for joining us this evening here on the Phil Hendry Show. I am wrestling a little bit here, folks. You may hear with the cold that I've had over the last week, but do you have any view on this, Bud Dickman?
Yeah, I think that probably...
what are you asking him for?
I'm asking Bud. Then I'll ask you.
All right, are you going to get rid of me?
Yes.
May I?
Go ahead.
I think that Donald Trump, well, I don't know.
You got
go ahead.
You think that Donald Trump, well, you don't know.
I think that my aunt is, she'd understand that Donald Trump, I think, is full of crap.
Me?
Yeah. I think that Donald Trump... Why are we talking about Trump? He wasn't even the guy that won.
Yeah, well, you can talk about Ted Cruz if you want. Talk about this race. It could be the Democrats, whoever.
Oh, I want to talk about Bernie Sanders.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. I get to talk about it.
Go ahead.
Bernie?
I'll talk about Bernie Sanders.
All right, well, I'm going to talk about Ted Cruz as if he were Bernie Sanders, because in a lot of ways, Ted Cruz is the Bernie Sanders of the Republican Party, and Donald Trump is also the Bernie Sanders of the
Republican.
Of the Republican Party, only not that much. God, I've got acid reflux. I can't do it.
All right, I'll do it.
Do you really, General?
Yes, get me...
I'll probably get you Pepto-Bismol.
Get me some of that Zantac.
Yeah.
I think that Bernie Sanders is shaking it up over there. A virtual tie between him and Hillary Clinton. This is going to be good going into New Hampshire. As far as the Republicans are concerned... Donald Trump may be a high-speed sports car to the future, but that future is a nuclear wasteland filled with very wealthy people and the middle class dragging their belongings through the street in a shopping cart.
Jesus.
Well, I'm sick of it.
All right.
I think that's a very fair assessment. The middle class will be living in a future like a garbage can.
So you think the middle class will be living in a garbage can as the result of Donald Trump?
Yes, I do.
All right, now, General, go ahead. Are you done with your acid reflux?
My acid reflux?
Reflux! Are you done with that?
Hey, Phil, no one's done with it. It's done with you. And right now,
How's that Zantac?
Oh, it's kicking in now. Phil, I would simply say that Donald Trump has pretty much had his way of things here over the last several months. He has been the media circus. People have gone out to see Donald Trump. But I believe he's been a celebrity event. I don't believe people have taken him seriously as a candidate. And hence you find in Iowa, when people sit down and seriously discuss the issues and seriously consider how they want this country to go, they wouldn't touch Donald Trump if he was gold-plated. As far as they're concerned, he is nothing more than something that was left on a road by a forest creature that may be eating a diet rich in berries and honey and nuts, but nonetheless has left something there on the road that if you get that on your fingers and on your shoes, the stink will linger for years. Now,
all right, General, I got that.
Good God, General.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
And that's Donald Trump. Something...
Yeah, in other words, raccoon shit.
Did I say raccoon shit?
No, okay. All right, thank you very much. So that's the... God almighty. So that's the extent of the Donald Trump candidacy there in New Hampshire and the extent of what he may or may not bring to the table here as the months go by. Very, very interesting takes, folks. I thank that very much. I thank you, Mavis Leonard, Larry Grover, and Bob Green. We'll be right back here. Stephen Ozell with a very, very quick take on something that he's planning on based upon a news story. Steve Ozell is a construction contractor in Corona, California. He's going to be talking with us about going in to have his nose straightened and leaving his phone on just in case. We're going to find out what all of that means coming up. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I am Margaret Gray.
And you'll remember that you get your backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com.
Well, there was an interesting news story here that, you know, I thought would we could... look at, and this is a news story. Why is this only 3 seconds? That's weird. This is a news story that has to do with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a man who went in for some surgery and left his phone on, and it recorded the comments of the doctors.
Oh, I heard this story.
Jesus.
Yeah. And the comments of the doctors were so insulting and so utterly without any concern for the feelings of the man they were operating on. He was an unnamed man from Vienna, Virginia. It wasn't surgery, it was a colonoscopy. And he was recording it on his phone to help him understand his doctor's instructions afterwards. But when he listened back, he heard the anesthesiologist saying she wanted to, quote, punch him in the face and falsely accuse him of having syphilis. This is the anesthetologist.
This is now, did they know they were being recorded?
No, they did not. He left his phone on so he could hear the doctor's instructions afterwards. Tiffany Ingham also said she was going to mark the patient down as having hemorrhoids even though he didn't. The gastroenterologist, Solomon Shaw, was not fined as he did not say anything, but he did not object to any of these comments that were being made. The jury has awarded $500,000 to this man who recorded this surgery only to learn that a doctor working on him spent the time making offensive comments. Now, this unidentified patient is from Vienna, Virginia, as we mentioned, and he wanted to be sure he didn't miss any of these instructions, so he listened back to the recording and he heard the anesthetologist saying she wanted to punch him and accuse him of having a sexually transmitted disease.
Now, who is this woman?
Right here. This is her, Tiffany Ingham. The anesthesiologist who was heard making offensive comments. One of the jurors, Fareed Karzada, told the Washington Post that there was not much defense because everything was on tape. The anesthetologist, Tiffany Ingham, is heard to say to the sedated patient, "After 5 minutes of talking to you in pre-op, I want to punch you in the face and man you up a little bit." Then when a female assistant points out a rash in the man's body, Ingham says if she touched it, she might get some syphilis on your arm or something. Jesus Christ.
Man, but I like this lady. Why'd she talk that way?
I don't know. This guy either rubbed her the wrong way or whatever. She later says of the rash, it's probably tuberculosis in the penis, so you'll be all right. God damn. She also mocked the man when it was noted that he got queasy seeing a needle go into his arm, saying, "Well, why are you looking then, retard?" And she said, I'm going to mark hemorrhoids even though we don't see them and probably won't. She also wondered aloud whether the patient was gay. The gastroenterologist, Solomon Shaw, was dismissed early in the trial despite not objecting to any of Ingham's comments. The procedure was performed at Shaw's medical suite in Reston, Virginia. Michael Chernoff and Scott Perry, the attorneys for the plaintiff, also asked for a $1.75 million judgment. They instead got $500,000 for their client, which included $100,000 for defamation, $50,000 each for the comments about the man having syphilis and tuberculosis, $200,000 for medical malpractice, and $200,000 in punitive damages.
God damn, man. They're talking about a guy having syphilis and he didn't even have it.
No, these people are obviously a couple of numbskulls.
Well, yeah, but who knows how doctors talk when you're in surgery, you know?
Well, let me tell you something, my friend. If I ever find out that I'm in for a procedure and I've been put under by some kind of anesthesia and these clowns are talking like this, friend, I would seek them out as soon as I was well enough to stand. I'd invite them out for maybe a cup of coffee and they'd never be seen again.
Oh!
That's right.
Well, General, you don't really mean that.
All right, on the record, no, I don't mean it.
All right, so anyway, the juror, this Mr. Karzada, or I should say Karzada, said that we finally came to a conclusion that we have to give him something just to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Conversations for medical professionals would normally be considered privilege, but since other people were in the room and the scope of what they were discussing had nothing to do with the colonoscopy, it was determined that this rule did not apply. It is not known if Ingham or Shaw have faced or will face disciplinary action from the Virginia Board of Medicine. This lawsuit, though, named her the anesthesiologist, and I want to keep saying anesthetologist, but
yeah, it's anesthesiologist, and it is the gastrointestinologist.
No, it isn't.
Wait a minute. Yes, it is. It's the gastro. No, here it is. I've got it. No, it is. The doctor was the gastro, the gastroenterologist.
No, it's not. It's the gastroenterologist.
Oh, you're so full of crap, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, you know, it's the gastroenterologist.
But, you know, here it is.
Give me that. The gastroenterologist, that will be it, whether it's that or not.
Well, all right, Daddy. Thank you, Heil Hitler.
Well, it's not exactly Hitler-esque.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. So Stephen Bozell, after all of that, had read the story and is planning on going in for some kind of a procedure. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be, but Steve joins us here on our newsmaker line from Corona, California. Steve, how are you?
I'm very good, Mr. Ernie.
And by the way, thank you for filling in for us the other day.
Always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Tell me how this story has inspired you with you're going in for some plastic surgery.
About a year ago, I suffered a broken nose at work. I was coming out of one of the porta-potties, and I tripped on a piece of wood that was just at the door of the porta-potty, and I tripped for it, and I hit my nose on the outhouse door, and it broke my nose, and I decided I'd go in to have my nose straightened. I never thought that I'd be worried about what people are going to be talking to me about, but I had decided that I'm going to record any of the conversation that's said while they're fixing my nose. And the reason for that is not so much that I want to remember the doctor's instructions, as was indicated here on this particular situation, but because I want to make sure that they're not talking about me in a way that would be offensive or that they're violating my privacy.
What do you mean by violating your privacy?
Well, General, I mean that if there's people that are going to talk about you like that, and even though they're working on my nose, how do I know they're not pulling some other stuff like, you know, pulling your pants down or laughing or
Well, isn't that a little bit of paranoia there?
No, it's not, Ms. Gray. You just heard the story. How could you say it's paranoia?
All right, but here's a guy that was recording this for his doctor's instructions. Do you anticipate that there's going to be conversation there in the...
Well, there's bound to be conversation.
Yeah, if they're going to fix the guy's nose, they're not going to be quiet. They're fixing your nose, but that has nothing... Is there instruction there that you're going to need to hear?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be talking about. But I am going to be recording it. That is having my phone on so that the doctors are on notice that if they want to talk, you know, excuse me for saying, if they want to talk, you know, crap about me, talking all this garbage about me, that I can confront them man-to-man after I come into the office. And I told you, you know, you're going to be called back in. The doctor's going to want to see you. You come walking in with a bandage on your nose and two black eyes, and you're going to look a little silly. So I want these doctors to know that even though I may be coming into their office with a big bandage on my nose and my nose is swollen to, you know, a large size, and I got two black eyes and I look like, you know, a raccoon or something, that I'm serious about talking about, you know, talking to them about saying that, you know, pulling my pants down.
You don't know that any of this is going to happen, and you've already got yourself expecting it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because now we know what these doctors are about. Look, at Mr. Henry, they talk about malpractice being a big waste of money, but you can see how these doctors are acting. You can see what they're all about.
Yes, but Steve, you don't know that just because this man had this experience that it's going to be your experience.
No, but I think that there's every reason. Close that door, will you, honey? I just pulled off the side of the freeway because I wanted to talk to you, and also we got a couple of ice cream cones at Dairy Queen.
You're off the side of the freeway. What are you, on the shoulder?
I'm well off the freeway, Mister. Don't worry about it. So I had said that I will record the conversation, and if I hear anything untoward, and I wrote down three checkpoints talking about my pants. You know, if they pull my pants down or something like that, looking at, you know, me there. And or if they make any comment about how thin my arms are or how weak looking my upper chest is, and then of course any, you know, comment, do I have a disease or something like that, those are the three parameters. Okay, now I've written these down.
Do you know who the doctors are that are gonna operate on you, and have you told them yet?
No, I have not told them yet.
And why not?
Who is that?
This is Margaret Gray. Why haven't you told them?
Well, because I don't know who the doctors are yet.
So you're just putting any doctor on notice that operates on your broken nose that you'll be recording it and listening for comments about weak upper arms?
No, not weak. Weak arms, weak-looking arms, weak upper body, or if they pull my pants down and look at my...
Your genitals.
Well, yeah, but I didn't want to say.
Well, that's what it is, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, why those three areas?
Because those are three areas that I would consider... to be off. That's the most insulting thing. I mean, why are you asking me that? Can you imagine? I don't think any man, Mr. Henry, and I think if you think about it, you will agree, no man wants to have somebody on tape going, look at that guy's upper body. He's got no guns. Guy's got no guns, and his upper body and his upper chest is flat and concave, you know. And or if they pull your, if they...
Yeah, I get it about pulling the pants down and looking at the genitals.
Yeah, they start making fun of that. So these are the three checkpoints, and
these three checkpoints will be shared with any doctor that you do choose to fix your broken nose.
That is correct, yes, sir. That is correct, yes, sir.
That is correct, yes, sir.
If he's mocking me...
Shut up, bud. Steve, I wish you the very best of luck in your endeavors on this.
Anybody want to... do we want to have some discussion on it?
Well, no, I don't think there's any discussion needed now until it so happens to you. You know, once you find out who the doctor is, why don't you call us back?
That's a great idea. Call us back, and...
Oh, call you back, and then maybe you'll see if you have time.
Well, look at Bozell. We don't know whether or not you are going to have a case here. It sounds very far-fetched, and I seriously doubt whether you're even going to go into a courtroom. Let's hope that while you're getting your broken nose fixed, nobody talks about your weak chest... or your skinny upper arms.
I didn't say skinny upper. I said skinny arms and weak upper body is what I said.
All right, let's hope that doesn't happen.
All right, but let's not hope that it does happen. Let's just hope that, you know, in other words, I'm saying if it happens, it happens. And that's good for me if I can prove it, and that's why I'm going to have the phone on.
And I doubt seriously whether any judge or any court is going to award damages because some guy said you got skinny-looking arms or...
Not skinny arms. They said the guy, if I don't have any guns on me.
If you don't have any guns...
What does that mean, guns?
Talking about his biceps.
So...
Yeah, Ms. Gray, it's something you probably don't understand, but I'm just saying, for me and for a lot of men... who have been part and parcel of what's been going on when it comes to these doctors. And you read about the man that got fondled and everything.
I heard all about you, and you came on my show when you were talking about being fondled by a dentist. Steve, I wish you luck in that this never happens to you, okay?
I'll be prepared if it do. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, Steve Bozell, folks, from Corona, California.
Guy, I don't understand. He's saying if any doctor says he's got a weak upper body and no guns,
and he talked about his genitals.
Yeah, big and fat, they pull his pants down.
What a waste, man. Talk about, now there's some tort reform for you, man. All right, guys, I hope the state of my respiratory system here with this cold was not too far, whatever. Anyway.
We'll do it, Phil. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.